Welcome to Double Burst, a podcast about Dice Masters. We are a group of Utah players that want to bring you the latest Dice Masters news, strategies, tips, and more. Whether you're a new or seasoned player, we hope this show has something for you. I'm KT Data, and welcome to Winner Winner Chicken Dinner, Episode 21. In this episode, we'll be talking about our basic action of the month, Heroic Defense, building single affiliation teams for beginners, and a special interview from visitors from Colorado. So let's kick it off with a quick rules update with Dr. J. Okay, guys, we are back with Dr. J. How are you doing, Dr. J?
Doing good. How are you?
And I swear somebody at WizKids likes hearing you on the show because you are back for another rules update.
I love that they release these rulings after we record so that when it comes out, we sound totally out of date. But yep. I'm cool with it as long as they just keep releasing rulings.
We'll keep having the segment as long as they keep posting rulings. So this week, we've only had one. And of course, you can go view all the rulings at win.wizkids.com/BB. And this one is about Batman Greatest Detective, right?
Yeah. And the text on the card says, while Batman is active, whenever you field a different Justice League character, gain one life. And then it has a retaliation if an affiliated character is KO'd, deal one damage to an opposing player. The question is, what does it mean when you field a different Justice League character? And the person posed a couple of different scenarios, you know, basically saying, let's say I field two Zatannas, a cyborg, and another Aquaman, and I already have an Aquaman and a Batman in the field. Which ones count as different characters? So for the purpose of this ruling, different means different than Batman. So if a character says, if a character card says, when you do something with a different character, it's any character that is not that character. In this case, it's different Justice League characters. So characters with a Justice League affiliation that aren't Batman. And there's been some confusion about that in the past. I've kind of wondered things like that. I think this is a good ruling for them to post.
Yep. So that's the only one update. WizKids, if you want Dr. J on next week's episode, post some more rulings.
Please. Post half a ruling. I'll still talk about it.
All right, Dr. J, we'll see you in a second when you pull in the KO King, and we are going to talk about our basic action of whenever this time period is.
All right.
All right, guys, we are here for our basic action of some unspecified... It's usually monthly, but...
Of the month.
Yeah, of the month.
It might not be monthly, but we call it the basic action of the month.
So we have Dr. J here and the KO King. How are you gentlemen doing tonight?
Very good.
Yeah. All right, so we are talking about Heroic Defense. And the reason why normally it's just Dr. J and I, but we brought in the KO King, Russ, because this is like one of your favorite cards, and you've introduced it to most of us.
Yeah, this is actually one of my go-to basic actions.
So his effect is Heroic Defense. It's a your basic action. It's a 3 cost, and the text reads: your characters get +1 attack and +1 defense for each of your character dice KO'd this turn. Gain 1 life equal to that die's level.
It's important to point out there's a period after that +1 attack and +1 defense, because I've seen people read this card wrong every time it's played. It seems like your characters get +1 attack and +1 defense, period.
One effect right there.
Then for each of your character dice KO'd this turn, gain life equal to the die's level. For some reason, people have a hard time separating those, but yeah, it's 2 separate effects. Mm-hmm.
So, Russ, how is the most effective way to play this card?
Well, this basic action works really well in my playstyle. If you're going to fabricate, use blue eyes, those kind of actions on your team, this is the most effective use of life gain. It's very fast. You can gain quickly. If you're going to fabricate a die, as an example, you can for a clay golem, you're going to fabricate 2 characters. You're going to gain 2 to 6 life when you fabricate. So I'm going to purchase a character and I'm going to gain life. So, you add that with an iron fist and a clay golem, all of a sudden I'm going to fabricate, gain 6 life, and put the clay golem into my prep area. So it's very beneficial. I use it a lot with Scarecrow, of course. So I'm going to KO my Scarecrows, gain life, and take control of my opponents, and they all get +1. So that's overlooked at times because you just think, it's +1. But if you have a number of characters out, that +1 really adds up, and it kind of filled that slot for me where I was trying to get just a little bit more punch.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and does it work well with Nitro? Just giving him that one extra defense for the common Nitro, of course. When KO'd, you can take out somebody with his defense lower or
So it adds a defense. There's some other things that it adds. It's really good with say at Babs if you want to ping your Babs an extra time. So it's this idea that a lot of us start to overlook the plus one, whether it's attack or defense, and it really ends up adding quite a bit. If you're attacking with four characters, that's plus four that they've got to deal with if they just want to take it. The sidekicks, those kind of things, getting the plus one. So it's very nice. And then I also have started using Eye of Agamotto with it, where you can it's the three cost that gives plus one to all characters when you use that basic action.
Mm-hmm.
So you put that on the basic action, all of a sudden my characters are getting plus two.
Plus, with its global, it helps you get your heroic defense faster.
Right.
I also find that it works really well with cheap teams, like swarm teams, you know, that just have a lot of cheap characters, or ally teams.
Yeah, because you ever had that problem where you're like, oh, I have all four of my swarm characters on the field. How am I going to get them off the field?
Yeah. And ally teams or sidekick teams benefit greatly from a simple attack boost. I mean, if you have five sidekicks in the field and you have, say, one Phil Coulson in the field, your damage just went from 5 to 10. If you have that and throw one of these on there, it just went from 5 to 15. And a plus one thing is huge with those little characters. So I find it works really well with ice swarm teams and teams with a lot of small characters.
And I think that's my point about the plus one gets overlooked. I used to overlook it quite a bit, but then, you know, it adds up very fast. Like you said, with the five sidekicks, all of a sudden it's going to be 10. My opponent can't just take that damage, which also helps.
It hurts in chump blocking too, because I've noticed this too as I see more and more kind of just those sidekick boosts where I'm like, in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, you know, it's going to KO mine and my opponent's is going to get KO'd. And then I totally forget about that boost where, oh, crap, it's only my guys that are getting KO'd.
And not only that, you throw it on a team with a bunch of small characters and you're gaining life every time they block and knock out your characters. A lot of those characters have really small stats on level 3 as it is. So your Alfred, which is like 2-2, he gets knocked out. Boom, you just gain 3 life. And fields for nothing. So it's really good with those cheap characters that are easily knocked out with life gain.
Yeah, and the sidekicks, you're going to get plus, you know, you're going to get, you know, gain one life if just a sidekick gets knocked out. So it becomes this situation where when you play it, you want to make sure you, when I have it and it's active, I'm going to KO something typically to gain the life and then also attack. So, like I said, I think Scarecrow is a perfect match for it because I'm going to do both, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to take control of their strongest character. Then I'm going to give it plus one, and then I'm going to gain life equal to. So don't underestimate how fast life gain. I know life gain is not the best thing in this game, but this basic action makes life gain a very substantial thing. You can be in a competitive game, and if you know, you have a few bolts, you have some level 3 characters that, you know, scarecrows or other things get out of the field, you're going to gain, you know, 6-9 life pretty quick, and you can really counter that.
Mm-hmm. And again, like we already mentioned, this die gives you two abilities to your characters. It gives the buff, and it gives life gain. And most basic actions don't do that. They'll give you just like a buff, or they'll give you some other ability. This is 2-in-1, so it's a nice die to get for 3 cost.
Yeah, and at 3 cost. If you have an open slot and you haven't used this before and you're playing with some Fabricate, I really encourage you to see how great it is with Fabricate, because you are going to gain good life while you're purchasing characters. And I know I talk about Fabricate often, but it's important to understand all those things that you benefit when you Fabricate, you are purchasing a character.
I don't think I've ever heard you talk about Fabricate before.
It's not just paying 3 energy to buy a character. I'm literally gaining life, moving things over, possibly causing damage all by purchasing a character.
Yeah, resetting your win field with abilities for the next round. Mm-hmm. So for kind of those new players that are playing this, is this kind of more of a early game, a mid game, or a late game buy in terms of when you actually purchase this action die? Because I get into that trouble sometimes when I'm buying action die where I buy way too many of them and I don't like have characters or anything else that it may end up hurting me.
I would say mid to late game just because you're not usually looking for a stat boost right off the bat and you're not usually looking to gain life right off the bat. So, you know, once you've taken a little bit of damage and you have a field set, that's probably the time to get it. And use the Eye of Agamotto or use the chalkboard to put in your prep area so you can get it when you want it.
Yeah, I'm using it mid-game and pretty consistently, too. It's one that I want to use often, especially if I've got Overcrush and those kind of things. I'm using it.
Oh, yeah, you did with your Gorilla Grodd team.
Using it, hopefully I'm buying, like, two. If I'm an Overcrushing team, I'm going to purchase two of them.
Yep, and I forgot to mention this when we were reading the card ability. This is a basic action out of the Warlight set, so if you're looking for it, look for it in the Warlight starter or the collector box. And you know how much we love the Warlight starter.
There are a few overlooked basic action cards. I think the next time we do this, I'm going to pick another one from that set.
I think this is definitely one of those cards that plays better than it reads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'd give it a chance. Like we've mentioned many times, the life gain and the plus one. Plus one doesn't seem like much, but you attack with four or five characters, that's usually going to put you over the top. Like I said, it kind of added enough punch to some of the competitive teams I was working with that it became part of my win condition.
Yeah, and it hits that sweet. We've talked about this before, that three cost basic action where it seems to fit in that nice.
Oh, it's a sweet spot, man. When you get a basic action for three, that's the sweet spot.
Yeah,
discount buy for one.
I think we had a question on Facebook this week about someone was looking for a basic action that they couldn't figure out, and what they wanted was exactly heroic defense.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for talking about our basic action. Russ, I will actually see you in a second with Kenneth to talk about our next subject.
All right.
Okay, guys, we are back. I have Kenneth, the KO King, and Dr. J. Welcome, gentlemen. We are actually going to be discussing today kind of just tips on how to build single affiliation teams for beginners. So say you're a beginner and say like, hey, I'm a fan of the Bat Family. Where should I start or what abilities should I be looking forward to put on that team to make it actually a viable team? Because let's be honest, we could do like a whole Sinister Six team, but that's not going to work out well.
Says you.
Yeah, we're kind of using this as sort of an intro to finding synergy. Looking at that symbol up in the left-hand corner of the card, looking at matching affiliations is kind of a good spot to start looking at the text for that synergy because a lot of them have things that relate to one another.
Yeah,
there's a few teams out there that I think WizKids kind of built for us. You got Teen Titans that work really well together. Yeah,
and so we'll do one disclaimer that we probably won't be talking about the biggest affiliation team, the villains, that in depth because we've already done that before partially, and there's just so many different options. We want to kind of feature some of the other ones that are a little less.
Yeah, and really what we're going to be doing is more talking about concepts than actual teams. Mm-hmm. We're not going to try and spoon feed what is the best single affiliation team. We're going to talk about the things that you can do within a specific affiliation.
Yeah, cause that's
and what to look for when you're starting to build it.
Because that's part of the fun is to kind of experiment and try. So where should start out? What is one thing that you should look for?
I think one thing to look at when you're looking at affiliations is the character that is building or helping you make the synergy of a team is not always that same affiliation. Mm-hmm. If you're in a casual event where you have to have everything in an affiliation, that's one thing. But if you're just making a team with an affiliation, it's not always that affiliation, a character of that affiliation is going to make it work.
A perfect example of that is the Nick Furies from the AVX set.
Yeah.
Each one of them goes great with any Avengers team, but none of them are affiliated.
Yeah, I mean, because one of them's like Avengers Field for free.
Yeah, Avengers Field for free.
Unblock Avengers, deal double damage. And what was the last one?
The other one is it buffs your Avengers.
Yeah, but he's not an Avenger himself. Yeah.
Right, but he makes that synergy to make the affiliation work. It's the same with Kyle Rayner and any Lantern.
If you're thinking Lantern Ream, you might be thinking Kyle Rayner.
Right, yeah. So Black Lanterns, I throw on a Kyle Rayner, and it's going to discount my Lanterns because he discounts everything for
Kyle
for
Rayner,
every
hopeful will. And while he is active, your lantern characters cost one less to purchase for each active lantern of the same color. So it works on any lantern team. And yes, the black lanterns, it is awesome to have them on because they're also expensive.
Right. So conceptually, when you're starting to look at this, don't just search on a search engine and stuff always like what affiliations, because there may be a piece that is outside of that affiliation that can make it work.
Oh, along those lines, too. There are some affiliations that have no synergy within them other than they have the same symbol.
Yeah.
Zombies are literally the worst.
The Sinister Six is another good example because none of them have any abilities to deal with Sinister Six.
Yeah. Do the New Warriors or the Thunderbolts or any of the affiliations in Yu-Gi-Oh?
The Egyptian gods. There's one that specifically deals with Egyptian gods. You'll never play it. But there's one.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's lots. There's so many affiliations in this game that the affiliations generally are a little more than just decoration on the card.
Yeah.
But there are some basic actions, too, that you can use that help affiliations specifically. So you can kind of build affiliated teams using those basic actions.
And I do think this is a great thing about Dice Masters is that you can find affiliations and have fun as a, like a fanboy and really make a Bat family work as an example.
I love the Bat family.
A full Batman team now is actually doable with Batarang, Batmobile.
I'm not going to lie. One of my favorite teams to play is the Super Friends teams or whatever, the Superman affiliation teams. I've lost every single game I've played with it except maybe one. I still think it's a ton of fun.
It is such a good thing to be able to enjoy losing. That's when I know I've got a good team. When I can enjoy losing.
Like
I
love playing again with the Shield team, not the Shield energy. I'm talking about
Shield affiliation
that
team.
And that to me, I love playing it. Win or lose, I'm just like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the affiliations that I think is surprising that has a lot of synergy is the Spider family.
Yeah, the Spider Friends
stuff.
There's a lot of synergy
with
them.
A ton of cards with that affiliation. You know, almost more than, I don't know, maybe Avengers. Not Avengers, but it's getting up there.
It's probably the biggest affiliation that only appears in one set.
Yeah.
Because it's only in the one set, right?
Well,
Was there anything in Civil War?
I think there's one in Civil War, the Mary Jane.
There might be one or two in Civil War. But
I want to say there was at least one in Civil War.
Basically, it's in one set, and it is huge in that set.
Yeah.
And like one of my favorites, the Spider family one is the Spider Gwen that you can field her for free if you have another Spider affiliated character on the field already.
So when I'm looking at an affiliation team and I'm trying to build a team, you want to have good cohesion. Mm-hmm. And for sure, something that I'm looking at within a team is some kind of discount. Whether it's like an Aquaman, everything's less one. But you want to affect purchasing, I think, when you're looking at an affiliated team.
When the Justice League first, when that set first came out, I had a Justice League affiliated team, and I used the Aquaman, Arthur Curry. While he's active, Justice League characters cost one less to buy, which is super handy, and goes nicely with Wonder Woman, Champion of Themyscira. Yeah. While Wonder Woman is active, other Justice League characters cost one less to field. So they cost one less to buy. They cost one less to field. You can get them going a lot. You throw on some of the cheaper ones. Zatanna was probably the cheapest one in that set.
And she herself, you know, it's almost self-feeding because then you get the discount, you get the cheaper fielding, and then Zatanna's like, hey, here, have an extra die next turn.
And she ramps.
So I think that's something to look at for sure with any affiliation team is that you're going to affect purchasing, whether it's discounting, also with the fielding. Something there lends itself to increase that. There's a Hal Jordan in Lanterns. If you're going to run Lanterns, it's a good one to put in with Kyle Rayner as well because he can be any Lantern you want. So if you want to run like a Yellow Lantern, whatever it might be, you can use him. He's got a decent global on him that'll let you spin villains. But he can discount. You know, if I had him on the Black Lantern team, he's a 4-cost that I could use as a Black Lantern.
One of my favorite teams to play was actually a team that I made in a draft, and it was like one of each of the different lantern colors, and I had like 8 dice maybe 9 dice in that draft, but it was so much fun because there was some good synergy there. And so, I mean, they don't all have to be the same lantern color either. I mean, there's some affiliations that you can mix a little bit here and there. And
oh yeah. Most of the blue lanterns require a green lantern.
Yeah, exactly.
So you really need to look at the synergies in those two affiliations. If you want to make blue lanterns work at all, you need a green lantern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same thing with like yellow and red lanterns. Some of them have some synergy.
There's a few really good synergies between red and green also.
Yeah.
With a few key characters.
Yep. So would you guys kind of agree is when you're looking for cards to put into this your single affiliation team, you want to look for not only its own effect, but an overall, so it does more than one use, right?
Yeah. Well, there's a few keywords that if I'm looking to build a single affiliation, there's a few keywords I'm looking for. Some of those are retaliation is definitely a really good one. Whenever that affiliated character is KO'd, you deal 1 damage to your opponent. That's an awesome affiliated focused ability.
Yeah, Team Watch is another one.
Melinda May has got to be my favorite Team Watch ability. Just, you know, when you field a character that shares an affiliation with her, you deal 1 damage to target die or opponent.
So awesome.
And there's other Team Watch abilities that are also really good.
And I think it's important to remember that you can make a character with Team Watch into a different affiliation before you field things so mm-hmm. that it triggers that Team Watch. Like Melinda May doesn't, you don't have to only use that Team Watch as a shield.
You can make her an Avenger per se and stuff.
Make her a villain, make her Bat Family, make her Superman. Yeah.
I think we're all kind of overlooking the elephant in the room here, and that is you use the basic action infiltrate mm-hmm. and just slap it on a bard and boom, you've got some affiliation synergy right there.
You can use infiltrate to make anyone anything, which is a lot of fun. I think it's a 3 cost.
Yes, I think so. I think you have the best story about infiltrate hurting you because you lost the match by an old lady, right? Because of infiltrate.
Yeah. I can't remember exactly everything that happened, but Nathan punished me with
Aunt May.
Aunt May.
Aunt May beat you down.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think this goes into when we're looking at some kind of affiliation, not only discount, I think of one thing to make the cohesion work is some kind of damage, whether it's retaliation or something.
Or just like a buff.
Deathstroke has an awesome when fielded effect of when he's fielded, deal 1 damage to the opposing player for each villain you control. That is an awesome affiliation-focused fielding effect.
Right, and you pair that with Blue Eyes, which I've done before, becomes pretty deadly because I'm fielding him, then I'm going to KO him.
And then you have Black Manta on the field.
Right,
you get Black Manta on the field, so it's retaliating.
Gonna, you know, deal retaliation, then when I field him, I'm going to deal it to you again. So it becomes this, you know, I just think ping damage is a great part of affiliation. It helps the win condition. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're just going to be attacking, I don't know if affiliation is really what you want to be doing on a team. So,
yeah, between buffing and direct damage,
right?
Those are some really good things to look for within an affiliation.
And if you're, you know, another thing that we're talking about with affiliation, if you're in an affiliation tournament where you know everybody's going to be affiliating, there is a lot of fun you can have with that too. You know, I like to use Joker Red, the Hood, Red Hood.
Yeah,
where you're dealing damage to everything that's affiliated.
So I'll give you a warning to anybody listening to this: if you ever play Russ and you see Joker Red Hood on there,
oh my gosh,
just pull out a whiteboard.
Head for the hills, man.
Pull out a whiteboard or pull out a sheet of paper because you're going to need to diagram your damage.
Yeah. a good basic action that goes with affiliated teams is Suffering and Satisfaction. And it's a 2 cost and says choose an affiliation. Target character die with that affiliation gets +2 attack, and a different target character die with that affiliation gets -2 attack. You may only use this action if 2 dice in the field zone have the same affiliation. I like using this with characters that don't have really high attack and sometimes just swinging with them. And lots of times people will let it through and you say, fine, I'm one of my other characters that didn't attack is going to lose 2 attack and I'm going to buff this thing up for 2. And so that's a fun, cheap, basic action to play with affiliated teams.
I tried to make Assemble work when Age of Ultron first came out.
How'd that work?
not very well. It being a 5-cost basic action makes it a little bit hard to get it going. When it works, it works. I mean, you search your bag and feel the character die at level 1 for free, and it has the teamwork keyword, which is affiliation-focused, and you repeat the effect for another affiliated character. So if you're just running one affiliation and you have a good plan for buying a 5-cost basic action, you can start fielding characters for free pretty consistently.
1,000 Dragon.
Yeah, we make that's how you make the fusion team work.
That's right. Oh my goodness. Genius, Kevin. Genius.
Is fusion an affiliation?
Yes. Fusion material monsters. There's two of them. That's right. Three Egyptian gods.
So another thing kind of extrapolating on the idea of affiliations is looking more at just your keywords. Like Falcon Recon and Foot Ninja, Ninja Syndicate do not share an affiliation.
But boy,
that keyword
well.
of ally on the Ninja Syndicate really goes well with Falcon Recon, who makes your sidekicks unblockable. So keywords can kind of create their own affiliations in a way. You could have a bunch of non-affiliated allies with that Ninja Syndicate and a Falcon, and you've got a really, really brutal team because yeah. Your Ninja Syndicate is going to get buffed for each of your sidekicks, and then Falcon makes them all unblockable. And you kind of have to go to that method of thinking if you want to build an affiliated team within Dungeons & Dragons. In that set, you're looking at monster affiliation, which is all over the board, or the somewhat random and non-synergistic, Emerald Enclave and Harpers and stuff like that.
Are you sure? I don't know that I've ever looked at those to see if there's any synergy among them at all.
There's not.
They're there.
Trient. Trient is good, or Unicorn.
Those are not an affiliation. Those are monster
alignments.
Affiliations.
Right. Those are
good. That is a good point. You're looking at the good alignment, and they both have good effects for good alignment. You know, when you look at the Half Dragon, he's a monster for his alignment, But
he's specifically looking
for dragons.
Yeah. And Fiends. Dragons appear in both D&D and the Yu-Gi-Oh! Set.
Yeah.
Yep. Anything with dragon in the title is going
with
to
no
work
hyphen.
With him. Yeah, with no hyphen and no abbreviation.
It can't be Moon Dragon from Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Because nothing can make her better.
But the Fiends are another one. Like
Fiends.
Kind of appear across them, and you're looking at the title Fiend more than the affiliation of Monster. So, building an affiliation team, while in the superhero worlds, it's definitely a little more simple. When you get into the D&D, you can definitely build an affiliated team, but you're looking at it as more of a theme than just a solid affiliation.
Yeah, and while we're talking about affiliation, the Age of Ultron starter has 4 basic actions that deal specifically with affiliation. So if you're looking to build a team that with some good affiliation synergy, seriously look through those basic actions, because there's Ready to Rocket, Infiltrate, Coordinated Strike, and Assemble all deal specifically with affiliations.
If I'm doing an affiliated team, one of my go-to basic actions is Teamwork. It gives +1 and plus one attack and +1 defense for every other character of the same affiliation. So
yeah, that's a really good one.
Beefs up very fast.
I like throwing the curveball of building a D&D affiliated monsters and throwing that on there. So
wait, what set is that in?
It's a promo. It actually goes right along with Rally. They make
it. Yeah, I think
it was an OP card from
early Avengers.
AVX.
Yeah. I wonder if I have that.
So another thing to think about is just making teams that the cohesion, as you've been talking about, Ken, like allies, sidekicks. It doesn't have to always have the thing in the left. But what globals are there that can turn affiliation as well? You have
there's a whole bunch of villain maker affiliations.
Tons of I think there's like 4 or 5 of them last I checked.
I think there's one for each energy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Trusted Friend global on the Trusted Friend basic action.
That can do Batman.
Batman or Superman affiliated teams. Yeah,
right.
Are there any other affiliation making globals?
I don't think so.
I know that there's the Infiltrate basic action that we talked about.
Yeah,
I will make the point that Tin Head from Age of Ultron has a villain maker on it. It's overlooked at times, but it also, he gets plus one for every villain on the other team. So he actually works awesome in an Avengers deck.
Yeah, he's got really good affiliation all by himself, synergy kind of all by himself. He can buff up any anti-villain.
Yeah, you pair him with even team. Like a Starhawk, who is another Avenger. Then yeah, you get even more buffs for both of them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So what is your favorite affiliation to use, Dr. J?
My favorite affiliation? Oh, you might have to come back to me.
All right, Kenneth, what's your favorite one?
Non-villain.
Non-villain.
Yeah, because that's an easy one.
Honestly, then probably monsters from D&D. That's the second biggest affiliation. It's huge, and there's a ton of options within it. And I do love the D&D sets also. But if I had to choose not monsters and not villains, it would probably be Justice League. I enjoy the Justice League.
Yeah, it's all about Bat Family. I just enjoy playing the Bat Family. And the funny thing is,
you've made that Bat Family work really well.
So the story behind that was I got that the full art Oracle, and I'm like, I really want to play this card. So what can I go with it? So I was looking around, and I'm like, okay, I have Oracle. Then I pulled the rare Bruce Wayne. I'm like, oh wait, these can work together. I go look in the starter, and it has the Batman that gets cheaper with more Bat Family characters on the field. I'm like, oh, these work great. And then I'm like, I just need a KO something. Alfred. And it just all started coming together, and I'm like, I like this team. And that's kind of the base of my Bat Family team, and I just love playing with it.
Yeah.
All right, Dr. J, what's your favorite affiliation?
I'm going to go with the Superman family team or whatever that is. I love playing with all those characters. I think that there's some fun synergy there. I love playing with Clark Kent and Superman and paying 4 life to buy Superman for free.
Yeah, I think I played with that affiliation one time, and it was really fun, and I didn't win a single game with it.
Yeah.
Also, it's one of those that it's a fun affiliation to play with, and it is not good.
Yeah, I'm gonna look into this Sinister Six business here.
I think somebody actually lost a game against me playing that Superman team just because they wanted the ability to work, so they paid 4 life when they should
have. There's some fun combos in there, and it's like you want those combos to work, so you're not going to win until you get those combos to work, and then by that time, you're just up the creek.
Bringing it back to the KO King, what's your favorite affiliation?
Black Lantern.
Sorry, you have to pick something that's not villains. We already said that.
Well, it's not necessarily affiliation, but I do like X-Men. That is an affiliation that I like because there's so many options. But yeah, I will say pretty, off pretty the wall, not necessarily affiliation on the left-hand side, but you all know I love that heroic team.
Yes, you do.
So yeah. I am probably the only person that is dying to have heroic introduced into the DC universe. But the heroic is just a lot of fun. There's a lot of synergy. Like I said, it's not necessarily affiliation, but they kind of work together so I can keep characters coming in and adding benefit.
Really, I think if there's any big takeaway from this whole conversation, it's, you know, building an affiliated team is fun, and it's a great place to start looking for synergies. Look for synergies, mm-hmm. Look for things, and kind of, you know, to the beginners, start off with something comfortable like your Avengers, your Justice League,
or just like
your villains, whatever it is that you like doing, and then build from there and start looking for synergies that maybe are outside of that affiliation that can help buff whatever it is that you're doing, whatever you've got.
Check out the Ninja Turtles. There's some good synergy there.
Yeah. Yep. And you can find cards that are not necessarily like the Patch, the Nick Furies.
Yeah, there's plenty of unaffiliated cards that help out affiliations.
You know, Moon Knight does well for Captain America. So
he makes opposing adventures more expensive.
Yeah, like putting a Moon Knight in your team when you know you're going to a single affiliation event can totally throw a wrench into your opponent if they're playing Avengers.
The same thing if you know that someone likes Justice League and you want to bring the Trinity War Firestorm.
If you're going to a affiliation tournament right now, because Justice League is pretty good, if you put that Firestorm on your team, you're going to cause some serious damage.
Yeah, you'll probably upset somebody.
Because that deals 2 damage every time they fill the Justice League character.
I also would like to make this point. There's a lot of affiliations right now that are just junk. that aren't great, go back and revisit them when the new set came out. When this when this Green Arrow Flash set came out, it put out like 9 or 10 new characters in different affiliations.
Yeah, that two cost Hal Jordan is so awesome to use him with the Blue Lanterns from War of Light.
Katana Justice League is working for the Justice League team, and there's Suicide Squad. There's some other good villains.
There's more Bat families now.
There's a lot of Legion of Doom.
There's that magic
More Legion of Doom.
Yeah, Legion of Doom. Yeah.
Which I kind of don't like that all of the that they do the villain. That the villains have a second affiliation, you know, Black Lanterns.
All the Legion of Dooms are villains.
Legion of Dooms are all villains. Sinister Six, all villains. I don't really love that because it kind of takes away from the Legion of Doom affiliation, where it's just a villain.
Yeah, and you kind of wish they just pick one and go with it.
Yeah, there's a lot of a lot of awesome villain affiliation that totally overshadows any Legion of Doom affiliation.
Yeah,
this is one thing I love about Dice Masters, though, is they.
The variety you can
right
from.
And bringing the synergy together, find a random card that says something about a synergy. I mean, synergy can be also with the energy type, but find something and build 8 characters off that. Something that no one plays. You guys know I tend to do this. Find some random card that no one plays that has this weird ability, and you can usually find the synergy that makes that thing work. Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. We want to hear from you guys. What are your favorite affiliation teams to play? I mean, there may be one that we didn't think of, and you're like, yeah, I'd put together an
I want to know if there's
some other
heroic.
Please tell us how wrong we are. I always, always want to hear people tell us that we were wrong about something.
Especially if Ken is wrong about something.
Especially
I want to know.
If I'm wrong.
I want to know if there's any other heroic lovers out there.
Yep. All right, so you can do that by shooting us email, doubleburst@ktdata.net, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/doubleburst. Gentlemen, thank you very, very much. This was an awesome discussion. All right, guys, we are back. I am here with Steve the Sage. How are you doing today, my friend?
Doing well.
Yep. I'm excited for this segment because we actually have two guests that traveled very, very far to be on our show. So I am super humbled. So we have Kirsten and Beth from the Nerd Store in Greeley, Colorado, right?
Indeed. Yeah. Thank you for having us.
First of all, thank you so much for driving. I mean, how long was that drive?
Seven hours.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm glad you're here right now because the leaves are changing and stuff. So you got some pretty scenery.
That's so beautiful. No complaints. Yep.
Let's just jump into it. Kind of tell us a little bit of your background and what you guys do at the Nerd Store and how you got into the world of Dice Masters.
The Nerd Store is a comic and game shop in Greeley, and I work there. So that helped. I kept eyeing the X-Men starter. Mm-hmm. It had gone on sale, and I kept looking at it and looking at it. And there were only a couple of guys who played. And they kept encouraging me because they knew I was interested, and I love the X-Men from when I was young. And so I decided that Santa was going to get it for the family for Christmas.
Cool.
And that was 2014.
And then the addiction grew.
And then it happened. Yeah. Santa brought us an addiction for Christmas. But my husband and I opened the book and taught ourselves. And then started playing with the other two guys. And so it started as 4 of us. And we just kept being committed to it. And eventually we grew up to maybe 6 to 8. Mm-hmm. And we turned it into a league. And so now we have a league. It's a really casual based league. We don't reward wins so much as participation. So that's been keeping us going really strong. We go anywhere from 8 to, our biggest was a 17 person rainbow draft.
Wow. That's great.
That was a great night. It was a crazy night.
What set was it?
That was World's Finest and War of Light. We did a combo.
Yeah. Ooh,
yeah,
wow.
That was. I let everybody vote on the other half of World's Finest, and they picked War of Light. It was an adventure.
They're people after Kevin and I's own heart.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to know Steve and I. Between both of us, we almost bought 10 gravity feet.
My goodness.
We both just really overdosed.
Yeah, yeah. It got to the point where I think both of us were like, I think we might have a problem, Steve.
Yeah.
But there are many worse problems we can have. So, yeah, we've really encouraged a group of there are a good number of women and families. So we have some youth and we have moms and like me and Beth and lots of kids. And it's been it's been really fun and going strong.
So I love hearing this because everybody says they, you know, a lot of places run leagues and stuff, but what I've noticed is every league at every store is a little bit different. So kind of explain a little bit how your league works.
Oh, absolutely. So we do leagues of 6 to 8 weeks, and people buy a league card for $5, and then they get points for doing certain things. So they get points just for showing up to league casual play. Mm-hmm. They get a point for every opponent, different opponent they play in a league session, and then they'll get a point for a theme team. So I change the theme each season, league season. So you can get probably 6 or 7, don't you think, Beth? Yeah, 6 or 7 points in a session. And if you get up to 8, I have them correspond with the energy types, of course. So if you get up to 8 points, you get 2 booster packs. And if you get up to 24 points, you get a free $3 tournament entry. So we try and encourage casual players to join the tournament by getting their $3 value out of that. So they get the $5 value just for participation. And then at the 3 tiers, there's when you get to 16, 24, and 32, you get promo cards. So we get to pick promo cards from the binder. We got permission from WizKids to do that specifically, since it's not the normal way.
Yeah.
And they were very supportive and kind about that. So people can choose their promo cards at that point. And then at the end of the season, for the tournament, for that league ender, we do a $5 tournament buy-in, and then anybody who's completed the whole card gets in a drawing for whatever the special card is. This season, it's the Loki full art.
Ooh,
so, that'll be cool. But you don't have to be, you know, the strongest player or the biggest winner. You just have to participate, and then you get in the drawing. So
that's cool. Is it just, do you just have one night dedicated to league, or can players come in when their schedule's a little better?
We have one night dedicated to league. We expanded to Saturdays as well as Tuesdays. So we do Tuesdays. But Saturdays are such a busy night for a lot of families and stuff like that, Saturdays are great for special events and our casual events. We do a casual event at a local cinema lounge.
Ooh, that sounds fun.
That's so cool. That one's really popular. Cause that one's really laid back, and they have a great bar but it's also family friendly. They serve food.
Yeah.
So that one's a really popular event. So those work, the special events, the rainbow drafts, that sort of thing can work on Saturdays. But for the consistency, our group just loves Tuesdays. So
go with what works.
Yep.
Exactly. So Beth, how did you come into Dice Masters?
Kirsten suckered me in. She needed to share her addiction, I guess.
It helped that we did the free comic book day.
Yes.
Really, right. That really
did you,
worked.
Did you get that sick Adam West Batman?
Yes. That's what did it.
But getting those starters out to folks that I had been talking to about the game for a long time, it got them to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was great. A good one.
Well, what do you like most about Dice Masters, both of you?
You can go first.
I don't want to do all the talking, but just Beth is shy and I'm protecting her, not just I talk a lot. But
talking,
I do talk a lot.
You're just talking to two friends right now. I hope we're friends now, please. Or I'm just making
absolutely.
Terrible assumptions.
No, very much so. What I love about it is that the information is all out there. We were talking about that in the car just today, I think. Mm-hmm. The difference with Magic, you have to know all these cards and have some idea of what can counter you that's out there, or even what might be, you have to know your own deck so well. In this, you can have newer players sit down and say, well, I don't know what that Iron Man does. Here, look at my card. All of the information is there. So it's very much more chess-like to me in the strategy and the development of strategy, and I play my team differently based on what you brought than necessarily what I've play-tested against another team. So I love that level of strategy and all the information out on the table. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, pretty, pretty dice.
Yeah.
A dollar pack. Just one more.
I know.
Just one more.
Yeah.
And then great IPs. So it's, it's all win. But I think gameplay, that's my favorite thing about it.
Uh-huh. What about you, Beth?
It's the first non-board game that I've played. I never did Magic or anything like that. And it's just fun. So maybe I would have been addicted to Magic too. I don't know. But
you don't want to be addicted
to
that.
Don't.
I know.
You like paying bills, right? So.
I've heard the story.
You have to feed the kids.
Yeah.
Cards aren't very nutritious.
Mm-hmm. I just like pretty, pretty dice. And pretty cards.
Were you excited like I was when they added like sparklies into them?
Oh
like,
my gosh.
The foils?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? The sparkly dice with sparkly dice. Fair and Under Siege. Oh,
yes. No, I was disappointed there weren't more sparkly dice and Green Arrow Flash.
But then you got the foils. Sometimes I'm just...
The foils are nice.
I'll look through the binder and I'm just like... What was I doing?
Yeah.
It's sure at a different level to rainbow drafting. It really has.
And it's really kind of fun because you go, do I need to bring the foil to the tournament tonight? Nah, I don't need to impress the guys. Or you know, maybe I will bring it so I can impress the guys. You know, something like that.
Yeah, I'm honestly just waiting for the day where I'm playing Steve and Steve's just playing this totally overpowered team. I'm going to pull out a flashlight. Can you see your cards now, Steve?
I like to bring my 7-year-old son because he plays too. And he's very aggressive. So he's not a big on strategy yet, but he loves the characters he loves. And he'll attack and attack and attack. So you better be ready for that. But it's great to bring him to a rainbow draft because he loves the shinies. So then I can try and draft a win and know that we'll bring home some shinies because Riley's got it covered.
So that's the fun part is because you said you have a pretty good mix of people who come and play.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one thing that a lot of people are wondering is how do you kind of nurture that environment where families feel like they can bring their kids in and it can be kind of a family event versus I'm not going to mention any other collectible card games where it's a little more cutthroat.
Well, that's just it. I mean, the community is so friendly and everywhere I've been so far, the community has been fantastic. And so it's almost like just encourage people to be themselves in this environment as opposed to the more competitive, cutthroat, unmentionable games. but yeah, we've encouraged that. We did do some learn to play stuff on Free Comic Book Day, which is very much attended by families. We did it for Extra Life as well, which we're doing again this year, and I know you are too, which is a cause near and dear to my heart. So it's really valuable to say, oh, we're raising money for Children's Hospital, and then families come in, and you can say, this is a great game you can sit down and play with your family. So there isn't too much of a hurdle, I think, with this game, other than just saying, we're welcoming. Mm-hmm. We can sit you down with someone, and we'll actually teach you how to play as we go, as opposed to try and win.
Yeah,
exactly.
And I actually, that's a good question too, is, and I think every kind of community does a little bit different, but how do you do your learn to plays? Do you have like pre-made teams or you're just like, dive in the deep end, son?
No, I am the queen of the learn to play. So when anybody new comes in, they are sent right to me. And I do a learn to play kit that's 4 characters, 2 dice each. And 1 basic action. And so I put that together and we usually have I did some quick short instructions and we have some printouts of the play area. And so I give them all of that stuff and I end up giving them the learn to play kit as we go. And then I just do the short version. We do 10 life and explain to them the step by step and then say, I know this doesn't make a lot of sense. Don't panic. I give you all this information and you're going to glaze over and it's okay. And then we're going to play it and it'll start to make more sense. And then you'll take this home and it's going to make even more sense. So, I usually spend probably a good half hour 45 minutes of league time. And that's the great thing about league time, too, is that we do 5 to 7 league, 7 o'clock tournament. So we always say every Tuesday, 5 to 7, anybody can come learn. And the staff is on board with that. The staff, and since I'm also on staff, that helps. But they know that it's an environment they can send people to with kids and females and, you know, all ages, all genders, all everything. that's how we do it. And I found that's pretty effective and it still helps us get people into it, but then it doesn't. And then of course, everybody that plays throws a bunch more dice and cards at them. Cause you know how that goes.
We know how that goes.
Yeah. With all the feeds.
I think
buy.
It's a bad night when I have to bring home dice. So like,
yeah. Yeah. So that kind of gets them hooked in. And then we give away a free booster too. And I usually say it's in that we staple the little shortcut rules and then it has the league date times on the back.
That's really
so we
good.
Give that to them and I say, okay, now you open it and you feel it and you let the crack seep into your fingers and you're hooked.
Now, my question is can we get you to come here to Salt Lake and move and then you can do that for our
Yeah. We need somebody on Friday right now. We have tournaments going on literally every day of the week except Friday. So, you know, it's a perfect spot right there, right?
It is beautiful. It is beautiful. I have to. I'll get back to you.
All right, and then so this is the super exciting news: is come November, you guys are actually hosting a WKO.
We are so excited.
So tell everybody a little bit about the details.
Absolutely. So we're doing the November 12th and 13th weekend. Okay. So the 12th, the Saturday, is the big main event for HeroClix, but we'll be running the side events. So we'll be running the Quick Plays and the Rainbow Drafts on Saturday. And then Sunday will be the big Dice Masters event. Registration starts at 11 on Sunday the 13th, and we'll get started rolling at noon. So that'll give people a chance to get their feet wet, get in the store, get registered, do their deck lists and all that stuff. So we'll, or the team list, I should say. And so then once, if people drop out, or if there are more casual players that come, we'll also run side events for Sunday as well.
That's pretty sweet.
Deadpool will be out by then.
It won't be legal for the tournament, but it'll be out.
No, but we can rainbow draft.
Yeah. That's,
you know, I hear if you pay attention to a podcast, you may get a release day episode on it too. That might help. And do you have a website or Facebook people can go to and get details if they're like, oh, what was that again?
Definitely the Nerd Store on Facebook is the primary place. And we have a group, the Nerd Store Dice Masters group on Facebook, that folks are welcome to join. I love joining other groups and stalking and finding out great formats and fun things that people are doing and borrowing and complimenting by copying. Yeah.
make sure you get on the Double Burst Facebook page.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure I did, but I'll make sure. I'll make extra sure.
All right. So before we let you guys go, because you guys are you headed back tomorrow?
I think so. Yeah.
I couldn't convince him to stay for Tuesday. I tried. I really tried.
So yeah, before
our kids might miss us a little.
Next time, just bring them with you.
That's not important.
So before we let you go, is there anything else you want to say? The mic is all yours.
Oh my goodness.
Just don't swear. I have to go edit that if you do. Yeah.
No.
And we do encourage singing. So.
I do sing, but no, not here. I don't know. I sing the praises of Dice Masters in this fantastic community. Thank you so much for including us in what you do, and keep doing what you do, because it's fun to listen to. I enjoy
it. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy your stay here in Utah?
Absolutely. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I'm glad.
And great host.
Thank you for so much for just coming out, because it kind of blows me away that you were willing to travel that far just to come to this thing that we throw together. So I appreciate it, and good luck on that WK. I'll be keeping an eye on it and like looking for updates, because Steve, you're going to be there, right?
I'll be there, and we'll try to do updates on it.
Keep an eye on that, and good luck for you guys.
Thank you so much.
All right.
And that's it for this episode of Double Burst. We would love to hear from you guys. Have you used Heroic Defense before, or what are you looking for when you build a single affiliation team? Shoot us an email, doubleburst@ktdaddy.net, or leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/doubleburst. And of course, make sure you check out doubleburst.com for all our show notes, links to the Greeley WKO, and even cool articles. Big thanks to Game Haven Sandy for giving us a place to record. They wanted me to let you guys know to keep an eye on their online store, since they will be offering an amazing deal on full sets for Deadpool. And I'm talking screaming deal. You can find that at yourgamehavensandy.com. And of course, thank you guys for listening. Everybody at the team appreciates it, and we love you all. Until next time, my friends, may your dice rolls be ever in your favor. Thank you.